Hello and welcome to the Empowered Couples Podcast. Tune in to hear inspiring and unique interviews with couples around the world and hear how they create a thriving relationship in business, health, spirituality, communication, intimacy, family, and more.
We are your hosts, the Freemans, authors of the book, The New Power Couple, speakers, and marriage mentors. Let's get started so you can fulfill on your dreams as a couple.
Hey everyone, meet Anaya and Pete. You are going to love these two. This interview has so much wisdom in it. Anaya actually wrote one of my favorite books called Sacred Relationships, a must read, as well as several other amazing books. In addition to that, she's a master Kundalini teacher, and she's really passionate about carrying forward the feminine mysteries in all of her teachings. And Pete, wow, what an incredible man who's really empowering men in relationships. He also was a soldier and a climber in his history and journey, but you will absolutely love the wisdom he shares not only in this interview, but in the videos and other resources he's creating with Anaya, including the retreats. You must look them up. These two share so much that you probably have never heard before or in new ways and practical ways to implement this. Definitely tune in and listen in because they've got a lot to share. All right, community, I cannot wait for you to hear this incredible couple. Meet Anaya and Pete. They're in the south of France. How cool that we can have this conversation across the world. So welcome to the Empowered Couples Podcast.
Thank you, you guys. It's a real honor to be here.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
We love a good love story. So would you share with us about how you two met?
Okay. Pete's offering the mic to me. Well, basically, I used to live in the middle of nowhere, and I'd really sort of shelved the idea of meeting my beloved. And so I was quite content living at home with my cat at the time. And literally, Pete turned up on my doorstep. And when you get to see where the house is, you will realize that it really is in the middle of nowhere. And I was told in prayer or channeling, whatever we want to call it, that the beloved would actually show up at the front door. You know, like one of those little mystical sentences that come through in prayer. And I was like, yeah, right. He'll never find this front door. Mm-hmm. But he totally did. And there was this moment, because the front door is actually glass. So I saw Pete sat on the terrace with his back to me, because he literally walked there 50 miles. That's like a 12, 13-hour walk to actually reach the front door. So I saw his back, and I knew that if I opened the door to him, I was definitely opening the door to a vast new chapter of life. And I was given the chance to really contemplate that before opening the door. I could have walked upstairs and pretended I wasn't in, or I could have opened the door fully and consciously, knowing that everything was about to change. And so, of course, I opened the door. And he stood up, and I've never laid eyes on Pete before. We once had a little Skype conversation. He stood up, we faced each other, and I saw the most familiar face ever. And that was really that.
Wow. Oh my gosh, I have goosebumps. And Pete, how did you choose to walk there? What was going on for you?
Yeah, well, but prior to this, I'd been living and helping to run a retreat center on the outskirts of Copenhagen in Denmark. So a retreat got canceled. And we'd been Facebook friends, sort of liking each other's written work and stuff like that, but didn't really know each other. I knew if I didn't get out of this retreat center and do something different, then I would just end up working more. So I wondered how it would be to visit Anaya in the south of France without any expectations or anything. And not only did the gap, the time appear, but money appeared from somewhere as well. So I had enough for a return train ticket from Denmark all the way down here to the far south of France. So basically the overnight walk in the rain, the sort of 12, 13 rainstorm to get here was about that, you know, every step was like, well, how much do you want this? How much do you really want to be in the area? How much do you want to be with Anaya? How much do you want to make this happen? And the rest is, as they say, history.
Wow. Powerful story. And when I hear that, it makes me think everything was aligning for you both to get together. And in a society, I would say, or in a time period where a lot of people seem like, oh, I'd really like a relationship to happen, and they kind of hope that it shows up, it was totally different for you both. So I guess I want to ask a question, just kind of like getting your advice or opinion. Number one, what do you think most people approach relationships for? What do they want to be in a relationship for? And then second, what is your opinion? What is the true purpose of a relationship?
I think, you know, we often talk about new paradigm and old paradigm. So I would say people in the old paradigm, this is kind of like the value system that our mum and dad would have passed on to us. It's kind of old, it's outdated, we don't really feel so comfortable in it anymore, but we're kind of still in it. So an old paradigm couple, and I hope I don't sound like I'm judging, I'm not, I think we can all notice that we are on the cusp of change. We're aware that something is turning a page somewhere in the book of life. So an old paradigm couple, I believe, did not like the feeling of being alone. So they were quite eager and very interested in finding a companion ASAP to just stop that feeling of aloneness. Whereas a new paradigm couple would come together because they sense, or maybe rightly know, that they could grow very deep and very wide together, that their coupledom would serve this great awakening in every single arena of life. And this is kind of like a progressive attitude, like, whoa, we're going to expand by being together. Whereas old paradigm couple could be said that we're going to, what's the opposite of expand? Contract together. Because we're going to hold each other real tight and be safe. And no growth. Whatever we do, let's not grow. Let's not change. New paradigm. Heck, let's change.
Wow. I just love it. And so beautiful. And I think it's something that even as people are introduced to that concept, that new paradigm, a lot of couples who are in that inquiry of, okay, what are relationships really about? That expansion. I love the kind of on the court discovery of what's that like in life. And so before I have a question for Pete also, but if you would just maybe elaborate, Anaya, what would be an example of a situation where you caught yourself perhaps going down maybe the old paradigm habit or action in a relationship and you chose a new paradigm action?
Well, I feel that when we're on this path, when we really do want this new paradigm shift and we're willing and available and trusting this expansive change, I do believe our conscience kicks in with a little nudge, usually in the area of the stomach, that says, hey, hello, you're doing something from the old paradigm here, or you know that's not fully true. When you say that, you know that's not fully true. It's just a nudge. You get it in a nudge. You definitely, definitely do. But the thing is, are we going to pay attention? So, of course, I'm getting nudged left, right, and center. You know, I'm, you know, approaching my 50s. I was most definitely born in the old paradigm. And I definitely spent at least 25 years in that, being that, and very, very happy. So I'm of the old paradigm. So, you know, daily I will get an inner nudge to say, that's the old you speaking. You want to make another choice on that one? And usually I do.
That's amazing. And I think that's really powerful to hear you say that. I think especially women can sometimes, when they're introduced to a new philosophy and they're like, okay, I'm going to live by that, they make themselves feel wrong a little bit when maybe old thought patterns are still coming up. So I bet you a lot of women just took a sigh of relief, and men also, just going, okay, even as I'm embracing this new way of stepping into partnership, I will still have the old pattern. So thank you for saying that. I want to shift direction here. Erin has a question for Pete.
Yeah, Pete, I wanted to have the masculine jump in here. We talked about what relationship can really be meant for, and we heard from you, your favorite thing about partnership is presence. What does presence look like? What does it feel like, in life? Because I can kind of get that as an idea, but for you, in your relationship, where does presence show up?
I would say it's the anchor of our relationship. As and I was just saying, we're both, I'm old and she's from the old paradigm, but we're both from the old paradigm, and our whole ego structure, our whole personality has been constructed in that mess. And I can say now, looking back on our time together, right from the get-go, this was going to be a conscious, loving relationship, both conscious and loving. And to be able to do that, well, the only way you can do that is in presence. I would say there you can't do anything of any real value unless in presence. You cannot even love if you are not in presence. It requires that you are. You cannot bring forth wisdom. You cannot know its wisdom unless you are in presence and aware of your own part of that component. But on a more realistic level, on a couple, on a man and woman level, we've learned each other's old tactics and defenses and deflections away from core truths so well that we can call the other on it. So, for example, when Anaya sees me going off into one of the classic guy things of victim because I'm not getting my way, bless my cotton socks, then she will call me on it. And thankfully, over time, I've started to learn to argue less, listen more to what she's saying, even if I don't agree. Just that in breath, in presence. And then really look at what she just said and go, yeah, actually you're right. We just had one before this call. She said, yeah, I think you've been on Facebook too much. And before I would have gone, well, look at yourself, look how much you're on it.
Oh,
You're
yeah.
constant. Instead of doing that, it was simply a breath. There wasn't any facial cue change, nothing. No kind of give back. And she was looking very closely for one. And it was simply a knowledge, an acknowledgement that, yes, actually, for my own good, I am on Facebook too much. So there, that's presence and love in action in the same breath.
I love that. And it's something, it sounds like you're pointing to a phrase we say to couples a lot that's really a new concept in the new paradigm, which is your partner is a mirror for you. And sometimes that mirror can reflect like beauty and love and truth that's inside of us. And sometimes it can reflect a place where we're not being present or we're not staying in alignment with our values. So it's like, okay, I'm gonna look in the mirror and sometimes I'll get really beautiful feedback. And sometimes I'll get feedback that it initially is like, I might be triggered by that, but just through that breath, like you said, it can be, all right, wow, there's beauty there. My partner is mirroring back to me who I really desire to be.
I gotta jump in here and ask a question. I think this is so powerful. And Pete, I'll just acknowledge we went to the Apple store yesterday, and I found myself really, I'll say, giving my power over to the store, the salesman, the process of a new phone and upgrading and new charges coming up. And it's like I was conscious of what was happening, but my body's feeling like, tense, contracting. I wanted it to be done, and my speech came out to Jocelyn like, you know, just choose one. I actually withdrew myself from like the table. I stood at another table. I mean, it was like an incredible experience, and like I'm like noticing it consciously happening. And for you, I could see it's been a practice of taking a breath. But in that moment, you know, for a lot of guys, they're starting to just feel that contracting and just starting to feel, you know, is you have another tool to say, you know, what else can I do here to put aside that what's happening to me internally is not who I am and come back to that presence? Because I don't know, I took a couple of breaths. I was trying to come up with some new thoughts, but it was like I was just feeling this contraction, like I didn't want to be here. I was coming up with all kind of projections and thoughts. Any other tools for us kind of just getting going in this developing of our presence?
Hey, I've got a real cool one. It's identifying those classic traits that we each have, and you can do it together. And the great way of making it real fun is to give this part personality, or if we're talking kind of Jungian stuff, archetypal character, a name, a funny name. So for example, I've got one called PMS, which is Pete's Market Syndrome. And it's a classic man woman cliche thing when you turn up at the supermarket. Like, I would get hyperactive, I'd have the list, I'd have the shopping trolley, I would zip through the aisles in like 2 minutes 30 flat, have everything stacked up with the code towards the cashier ready to go, you know, putting the list back in my pocket, we're done. Return to Nai, who's still in the first aisle, looking at 33 different types of iris or something. And there's the classic kind of build up. The guy, me, gets frustrated because, like, we can go now, we can go and do something more important. And not seeing where she is and the important process that she also goes through, even though it's different to a man's, it's just as important. And what would happen with Anaya, she would see my frustration, you know, they're almost tapping fingers on the handle of the shopping trolley kind of thing. And are we going yet? And it would make her stressed. You know, of course, there's something going on. It's a vibration. She doesn't really know what it's about. And she goes into a defensive stance, you know, like either going quiet, withdrawing, or giving back in some kind of way, if I've made a snippy comment.
Yeah.
And there's the problem, and it's a classic problem. But we talked about it outside of the situation, like over breakfast or something, and say, look, hey, we're recognizing this part personality of mine. Give it the name Pete's Market Syndrome, so that when we rock up at a market again in the future, and I can say to me, even in company, how's the PMS? You know, funny, laughy, jokey thing. And I'm going, no, I don't have a period right now. I'm okay. And you know, it takes the sting out of the thing. Instead of her pointing out, don't you get into this, it's like it's just a laugh and joke. And before we've gone into the shop, the situation is already disarmed.
Mm.
So it's a fun process of the couple sitting down and mining each other's personalities for classic traits. There are classic situations where one or other or both show up, but by the teamwork of pooling resources, these things can be made much less. And really, later on, you can really start to research, what is that about? You know, Victor the victim. What's he? How does he show up? Why does he show up? Where did he come from in childhood? You know, if you want to get mega serious. But at a couple level, it's just great fun, and you can disarm unnecessary repeating situations.
Really love that. The question opened up for me that I could imagine other couples asking themselves, because especially, again, when they start to enter down this new paradigm of partnership, it's kind of that discovery of when do you make light of it and kind of just, I love the fun way you're creating just a little reminder. So it doesn't become this super serious moment. Like, that fun and that play about it is so beautiful. I actually love a saying where it says, like, the first step of enlightenment is to lighten up. So I love that you say that. So then on the other side of that is when to know the opportunity to ask questions like, you know, what happened as a child, kind of dive into, you know, maybe past-based stuff. So how do you balance, like, when to just make a joke, make light of it, get that it's okay, it's not always that serious, versus when is it a moment to dive deep?
Great question. Well, I must say I'm quite a forward-moving, direct person. And what I've noticed, which is really lovely, my partners, my love partners, have always been my friends first. You know, we've like hung out together, studied together, traveled together. So we already know each other. And so it's easy to ask those uncomfortable questions. But with Pete, that wasn't the case. We really entered the love relationship, you know, right from the beginning without any personal history. I don't know. I think maybe by the 3-month mark, I was already getting in with direct questions. But with the invitation, very, very important, for him to question me back. And I was, you know, just showing this new path, saying, listen, this needs to be two-way traffic. If I ask you an uncomfortable question, please be vigilant to my own character. And when you see something out of alignment, please, please, please bring my attention to it. So I'd never poke and provoke without him knowing that he's invited to do the same thing back.
And so do you have a way that you indicate to each other if maybe you don't want to go into the past? Like, I give you an example, something Aaron and I have been implementing, definitely not in a perfect way, but, you know, because we're in that balance too of, okay, when is it just to be like, oh, ha, isn't it funny to be human? Versus, hey, let's dive into this. One of the things we've been really trying is just asking each other, would you like to dive into this? Do you feel like there's something to discover, or do you want to just, you know, make light of it and move forward? So we kind of do a quick check-in, ask the other person's intuition if they, you know, feel it's something to look at. So do you have something you implement even now that you've been together to really check that out?
Yes, I definitely ask Pete. You know, hey, would you? I'm definitely a worker of the emotions. So when it gets really bad, that's when I will literally go to the bed, lie down, stop whatever I'm doing, and just get on with it, and just turn and face that emotion, and let it move through the body in the way it needs to move through. So, you know, first of all, we do lots of lighthearted, you know, applying the logic, applying the intelligence to what could be going on. And then when it feels like it's getting looser in there, and I can see emotion is coming up in myself or in Pete, then that's when I say, hey, should we go a bit deeper? You know, would you like to lie down and breathe?
It's beautiful. Yeah.
Well, personally, I think it's very different from couple to couple, and there is no one way. And I recognize in myself, I go through cycles, you know, maybe even three-month kind of cycles, which handled well change. I think it's a minefield for any woman to navigate through a man's changing mood swings. I know women are supposed to be moody, but I recognize in myself at least, and many other men, we have just as many mood swings, absolutely. They may not be as often, but they're often bigger and they take longer to come out of. And we tend to go into a frowny-faced kind of frowny forehead kind of thing, lock ourselves away in the cave and come out when it suits us kind of thing. Knowing your partner is such a critical thing, and that's interesting. Naturally, a woman is more, from the beginning, more able to do that. It's a feminine set of characteristics to be able to do that. Interestingly, as the couple gets more and more established, the man's own feminine characteristics and capabilities start to come out, and he's able to read her in a different way. So you kind of build up a knowing of when and how much and not now. And it depends. Like for me, I often feel, and it's okay with me, that Anaya is quite blunt.
Mm-hmm.
She'll just jump in both feet sometimes and she'll really go at it.
It sounds like Anaya, you do not have any qualms about that you really accept that that's how you approach it and love that. I love how you even acknowledge that. You know what? Go ahead.
I was going to say the reason I'm able to do that is because I totally trust Pete.
Hmm.
I trust him 101%. I know he's not going to get aggressive. I know he's not going to get violent. I know he's not going to withdraw and be an iceberg. And that's why. If I didn't trust this man, I would most definitely keep my distance. But that's my character. I am an all-in person. We often play around with the dynamic of the lion and the eagle. So, and this is a dynamic for all couples, really. One of us is going to be the lion. Very forward moving, roaring, you know, hello, look at me. And the other one is the eagle, which is a lot quieter, a lot more reserved. And if it gets a little bit too intense, we'll fly away to a high nest, which drives the lion crazy. And the lion is pouring at the tree, you know, roaring for the lion to come down. And I think you can probably figure out which one I am.
Well, this brings up such a good question, and this may be directed at Pete initially, but here you are talking about knowing your partner, and we talked about relationships being for expansion, and it's just really there for me to bring up, you know, like past relationships where that's maybe not being experienced, and you know, that's where we get these sort of terms about divorce or people breaking up or relationships ending. And just to give a little context, Jocelyn and I see all of those terms to be put into one term called completing. Like relationships just complete. And my analogy that I literally love is if a kid is in fourth grade, in that he's going to have a teacher, he's going to learn how to add, subtract, he's going to learn how to tell time. And at the end of that year, he's going to learn what he was meant to learn in that moment, and he sort of graduates. You know, he moves on to the fifth grade teacher. Now, he may really love his fourth grade teacher, and he could probably choose to stay in fourth grade, but he's not going to learn. He's probably going to end up really contracting, not growing. And I feel like that happens in relationships sometimes, where people are just holding on to relationships that may not be in alignment. And so to really get that, relationships at time complete, i.e., I may be married, and maybe this relationship has come to the point where it's completed. I've learned what there was for me to learn. You've learned and grown to the point that you were meant to. And here we need to move on to our next teachers. But there seems to be some sort of sometimes shame, sometimes embarrassment to go through the divorce process, even though it's just completing. And Pete, I know you experienced that yourself. You know, would you speak to that a little bit? How do you know what's in alignment, specifically being married, and that's alignment to complete a marriage?
We've both been married before.
Hmm.
And I've been through that whole process of completion with other people. Personally, thankfully, I think we both have a level of self-compassion and compassion for our previous partners in that they have been our teachers and they have helped bring us here. Without them, we could never have got here to each other. And to it may not work to acknowledge that to that completee. But it's vital, rather than having the old classic pure anger and bile and not wanting to even speak the name of that past one, recognizing that they've brought out skills that I need now in this relationship. Thank you. Thank you for that. One thing we have learned and come across time and time again is to kind of, is that voice in the head that's saying, or maybe this relationship is past its sell-by date, is to question the validity of that voice. Who is that? Is it true? Or is it an egoic self, right? Which is basically saying, this is too difficult for me. I want to move on. I want to have more fun with someone else. You know, and just to examine, is it that that's speaking? Because we found that committing to each other for a given period of time, it's really important. As in, we had this this process we had with other couples, which was, for example, for 3 months, you actually sign a contract with each other, where for those 3 months you close all back doors. That means no exes, no flirtatious energy out to anyone else. And one of the other really important clauses was, you don't even think the thought that if this relationship doesn't work, or, you know, the next relationship's going to be different, or, you know, if it doesn't work out between us, you don't have those thoughts. You don't, certainly don't speak thoughts like that. So you're building a strong container to each other for yourselves. And by doing that, sealing the leaky parts of the relationship, you actually build a strength towards each other. So often that voice that's thinking about ending something that you don't actually end right there and take one more deep breath. And for us, prayer is massively important. You know, I don't know where to go with this. I feel, you know, I don't have any resources left to pull on. Help me out here, or show me something. And that moment of humility, often something shows up completely left field, unexpected, and it's like the most amazing continuation of this journey rather than ending and looking for some other.
I love that. What I hear in that is just what you said at the end, that moment of surrender, something, you know, clarity can come in, whereas, you know, people might be resisting what's happening in their relationship or how they're feeling. So in that moment, in those resistance of, I shouldn't feel this way, or I don't want to feel this way, or I'm lost, that all those resisting feelings can push out the clarity, where I love what you just talked about, just, you know, surrendering and asking for guidance. Really, really beautiful. Thank you for sharing that, because I know that we've received a lot of private messages of people just in that inquiry of, how do you know when to continue learning and continue in that relationship or complete it? So thank you for speaking to that, because that's really beautiful and such a peaceful way of going about it. There were a couple of other questions. We could talk to you both all day. And really, there were two more we wanted to make sure we got in with both of you. I want to speak to Anaya, because I fell in love with your book, Sacred Relationships. And I know that that's even when we emailed you, you know, I read it and I was, I think, almost through, and I said, I have to talk to them. And so I got my computer out and I emailed you, said, will you please both of you be on our podcast? So it really has been an impactful book for us. And I wanted to ask, did you write that book when you were with Pete, before Pete? When did that come into play?
Oh, this was written before Pete. So this was in my moment of, I surrender the idea of meeting the beloved. I'm just going to sit here in the middle of nowhere with my cat. And the only marriage I'm interested in is my own internal sacred marriage. And one of the things I often have said about the inner marriage, which I think is very important, establishing this internal marriage, first of all, that this really creates such a bank of new creativity, because your attention is totally with the self. You're not out there looking for a partner, and you're not entertaining the awkward dynamics of partnership, because you're actually just marrying yourself right now. And out of that inner marriage came that book. So it for me, it's kind of like a validation of what I suspected would be true, this incredible, potent creativity. And then, of course, step two is to take that beautiful inner marriage into relationship with another and maintain that potent creativity. And of course, at the beginning, it's going to be sloshy and you're going to be leaking energy here and there and everywhere because you're trying to handle the old paradigm and the new paradigm and wounds are coming up and you're getting triggered. But I would say if you persevere, not only do you get to keep your own potent creativity, but it now gets doubled because the other one is doing exactly the same and you're totally pooling everything, all of your soul, all of your heart, all of your body and sexuality. And now we have a very interesting dynamic. And then, you know, this summit, you know, the power couples. Now you have a power couple. They're wedded on the inside and they're married, not necessarily in a ritualistic way, but married on the outside as well.
Mm. That's such a perfect lead-in. And for all of you who have not read her book, it's called Sacred Relationships. And something I wanted to bring to light is about this idea of a sacred union. And really quick, for those that haven't read the book has basically three sections. You have the Book of Wisdom, the Book of Truth, and the Book of Alchemy, which is really taking the attributes of the divine feminine, the attributes of the divine masculine, and then alchemy being how do you blend and mix those together. And I'd like to ask a question from the perspective of two people, right? You've blended the internal feminine and masculine, married them, as you say, and then I want to talk about the sacred union is actually between two people. I think when people get into relationships, there is this idea of, okay, we're in a relationship and then somehow my individuality disappears. And that to me sort of misses the mark in that there's sacrifice in there. There's sort of putting yourself to the side, which is not necessarily, I think, where we want to be. We want to be aligned for ourselves. We want to be developing our best version of ourselves and self-expression around that. And yet you say as a sacred union, sometimes physically, sometimes in intimacy, there's almost this blurring of the edges of self. And I want to ask about why would you say that that part is important and how do you get there as opposed to having it be from a place of sacrifice?
Okay, let me give you a lovely example. We'll use us to begin with. So there's two people sat here that you're talking to. There's me, Anaya, and there's the man over there, and that's Pete. Now, there is also a third being. At the beginning of the relationship, that third being wasn't there. But through our conversation, through our lovemaking, through our tears, through our challenges, through our childhoods, talking of childhoods, and opening up, you know, our minds and our emotions, all the things we've experienced in the past, from that great intimacy, a third being gets born. Now, that's not me being mystical. I've spoken about this with Pete, and he's like, you know what? I can totally feel it. Now, this being we call Petaya. So that's a little bit of Pete and a little bit of Anaya. Now, Petaya is definitely far wiser than me and him. Is so compassionately loving and encouraging and healing and comforting. And it wants us to keep growing. It wants us to keep healing. It wants us to reach and reach and reach so high that we become it. And it's kind of like this androgynous angel is the best way of describing it. Like you two, Jocelyn and Aaron, you're gonna have I can't quite think of what the word
would I actually came up with it as you were saying. Aerolyn.
What is it?
Aerolyn.
Yes. And that is like your guiding angel. Can you sort of feel that even when you're on the call? That there's this reality that is getting closer and closer and closer to you all of the time. Mm-hmm. And that's what I mean by the merging. So it's not me blending into Pete, and it's certainly not Pete blending into me. It's both of us merging into like the overlighting influence that just keeps wanting the best for us.
I love it. And I'm actually, you know, obviously no one can see me, but I was looking over at Jocelyn and I was experiencing that new entity that you were talking about. And I could see how in my upset around the Apple store, how I was totally some ego version of Aaron, which, you know, Pete, you spoke to a little bit earlier. But yeah, I just really get like in that moment, we can play around with that sort of personality of Aaron, which I need to come up with another name of it. But here, if I'm standing in the Apple store and I'm actually present to Errolyn, it's like that gives me access to something new. It gives me access to new actions, a new way of being, I would say. And I, you know, I feel peaceful right now. I feel really connected to Jocelyn. And that was just so beautiful that you, how you said that.
I was going to say, Aaron, I'll tell you something that's absolutely true. As you said that name, Errolyn, all of my little hairs on my arms lifted right up. And to me, that's always the truth sign. It's like in that moment, I came into contact with Errolyn. And she is a beautiful being.
Thank you. And what I love about that too, even bringing that to kind of the practicalities people bring to marriage is, like, we really look at that union, those promises, whether people choose to sign a, you know, the quote unquote contract or just have a ceremony, like just the two of them having that sacred contract. It's an entity. It's really, for me, an accountability in a way of, okay, this is who I promise to say I will be. And I won't always be that way because I'm not perfect. I'm human. But that entity that you're talking about, it's really an invitation for me to remember, you know, what together are we creating and promising and showing up as. So it's an even brings a more beauty to the moment that people share their vows. And if they choose to sign the marriage contract, like to pause and really see that an entity is being created.
Yes. Sometimes when I imagine Pattaya, I imagine what I might look like, how I might dress, how I might move, how I might speak when I'm in the Pattaya energy. And it's so in alignment. My heart longs to be my half of the Pattaya. I really want to reach for this because it is such a good being. You know, I don't want to reach for it for my sake. I don't want to reach for it for Pete's sake. I want to reach for it for Pattaya's sake. I want to give half of myself to that because that is a good-hearted, deeply compassionate being.
Wow, so beautiful. I honestly wish we could have hours and hours with you both. And so for just a fun closing question, if you were to just share with someone really quickly how you two play together, how would you answer? Pete?
How do we play together?
Yeah.
Yeah. One good way of playing, which is actually a practical tool, is if the two people in the couplage can agree that when they get into a heated situation, a classic one between them, that whoever is the more present in the moment as it's getting heated can ask them both to come back to their egregore, which is the name of this combination of the two. What would Pattaya say or do as a way of calling them both back to presence? That's a fun way of playing, but which has quite useful, serious overtones as a practical tool.
I love that. Awesome. Anaya, how do you play?
I would play by surprising Pete. I like dressing up. I like doing little spontaneous parties, even if I'm the only one attending. So I have a lot of Irish playful fairy tendencies. So I love giving him a surprise. Which you know, I'd put a lot of effort into the surprise.
I love that.
It's very, very, very important to keep the joy field and the lightheartedness and the don't take it too seriously aspect totally in balance. Because if we're just going around processing, that's quite boring. And me and Pete, we can fall into that department.
So. And I have one quick question. Just now I'm just like, oh, man, I wonder what these parties look like. And maybe you can't share all of it, but do you come up with a theme? You said you're very intentional. Can you paint a picture of what that sort of party might even look like?
Well, I did a little party the other day. I was the only one attending. And I just let my kind of tribal avatar self come out. I just, you know, just dressed up like I used to in my 20s and danced, just danced a tribal dance for Pete. And it was playful and it was fairy, you know, it was also sensual, but the main energy was play and enchantment and delight. Wow. And again, I could only do that because I trust this man 101%.
Oh, you two are such a delight. So powerful, so amazing. And I really encourage everyone who is loving what they're saying to really connect with them. We're going to put the links to the two of you, to some of your videos, your resources in the notes. And I just really encourage you. They have so much more to share. But thank you for just offering your wisdom and energy to the audience in this short interview.
Thank you, Erilyn.
I love that. Thank you, Pete. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Empowered Couples podcast. Our intention is that you are able to take away one or two ideas to elevate your partnership. For listening, we want to gift you with a free copy of our ebook. You can get this at meetthefreemans.com.
And we will be so grateful if you share this podcast with someone that you care about so that together we can continue to empower couples. We look forward to connecting with you on the next episode.